Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Oh, why can't Mormons send flowers?
I didn't know Mormons couldn't send flowers.
I said more men, not Mormons.
I know they can't dance.
No, Sammy, that's the Amish.
Why can't Mormons send flowers?
They can.
And what are you talking about?
I just wish someone would send me some damn roses.
Well, why does it have to be a Mormon?
Oh! You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining us this episode is a first-time guest from the Podcastica Network. Please welcome Jason Cabassi. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you. I'm excited to be doing this. I'm a longtime fan of this show, and I was looking around for Cheers podcast, found yours. It's great.
Thank you very much. People are looking for Cheers podcast. I'm glad that mine is one of them that shows up on their radar. So.
Yeah. You named yours kind of like when I first started out in podcasting, which I'm sure we'll get to. I was on The Walking Dead and we called it The Walking Dead Cast.
No kidding. Like I kind of thought about giving it like a more obscure esoteric name.
Me too.
And some of my friends who are in podcasting are like, are you stupid? You want people to listen to this, right?
Exactly.
Like I was really thinking
SEO.
Of like when, like my first time, my first, the first podcast I ever did was a Star Wars podcast and I named it Dead Bothan Spies, a reference to a one-off line from Return of the Jedi. And people were like, there are 10,000 Star Wars podcasts out there. Your podcast doesn't have Star Wars in the title. How is anybody going to find yours? And I'm like, okay, it's a podcast. It's about Cheers. We're going Cheers Cast.
Yeah. You can keep us, have a simple title and just be clever on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's good advice. So yeah, it's your first time on the show. And as I mentioned, every first timer gets the origin story question. So how and when did you discover Cheers and what about it made you a fan?
It's been a while, of course, but I was kind of a sitcom addict as a kid and Happy Days was always my favorite. I'd be there every Tuesday at 8 to watch it. Taxi, Three's Company, Family Ties, all those shows. And I'm pretty sure when Cheers came out, even though it was one of the very lowest rated shows on TV for its first season or two, that I liked it from the start. I remember going like, what is this? It has a great feel to it. And so I've loved the show ever since it first aired. I've seen every episode multiple times. I remember the finale aired on my birthday, May 20th in 93, when I was in college, and it was sad. It was a sad day.
Oh, wow.
And so I love the show. I actually haven't really watched it in decades. Maybe once or twice a year, I'll dip in and rewatch an episode, but it was really fun to go back and revisit for this podcast. And I was surprised at just how many of the jokes I remembered were coming up and everything. Then I went to grad school in Boston. I'm from California, so I wanted to see what the East Coast was like. And then that was just after the show had ended. And I remember walking by the Bull and Finch pub almost every day and just having a good feeling, you know, oh, there it is.
It's a great little exterior location. Every time I've seen it a few times live and I've walked in there and yeah, it always gives me that feeling too.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, very cool. Very cool. All right. Folks, yeah, we are coming up on the end of season 7 pretty soon. But right now we're on season 7, episode 20, Call Me Irresponsible. This one is written by Dan O'Shannon and Tom Anderson, directed by James Burrows, naturally. And the original air date was Thursday, April 13th, 1989. It's Carla's second wedding anniversary, but Eddie, who is still touring with the ice show, hasn't sent a gift yet. She refuses to abandon hope, though, even as the hours pass by with no word from Eddie. Eventually, a bouquet of flowers arrives, but Carla sees through the lie that the guys sent on behalf of Eddie to pick up her spirits. Later still, more flowers arrive for Carla, but this time it's revealed that she sent them to herself so the guys wouldn't take pity on her. Finally, after midnight, Eddie calls to apologize for missing their anniversary and not being there. Carla suspects Sam of reminding Eddie, which Sam denies, until Carla puts a hex on him. Meanwhile, Sam orchestrates a betting pool for the basketball game on TV. Woody is reluctant to gamble until he starts winning and becomes insufferable. Rebecca reluctantly gets in on the action, but behaves even more obnoxiously when she wins, until her boasting in front of an off-duty cop almost gets her arrested. All right. That was the episode Call Me Irresponsible. And I'll mention up front, folks, I've kind of been talking about this episode a little bit in advance because the little trivia note, fun fact for this one is this is the last on-screen appearance of Carla's husband, Eddie Lebeck, played by Jay Thomas. He will be written out of the show in as permanent a fashion as you can get in the next season. So we'll get into a little bit of his exit this time later on the show, and we can talk about it more next season too. But for now, big picture, Jason, what did you think about this one?
I loved it. It was so funny. It was great. I, like I said, I hadn't watched the show in a long time. I'm like, am I still going to think it's great? And I laughed many times. It really gave me a hit of, because I feel like Cheers, of course, kind of has two eras, the Diane era and post-Diane. And this is just fully in the post-Diane feel of the show. And I remembered what I liked about that. So I loved it.
Yeah, me too. When it comes to Carla episodes, they can sometimes be hit or miss. And by miss, I mean maybe average TV show good. Like, I don't think there's a bad episode. But yeah, certainly some Carla episodes aren't as strong as others. I think this one is pretty good. Not her best, but like it doesn't get annoying. She's not overly neurotic or sappy. She's not as angry or vengeful in this episode. Not maybe towards the end. But there is a lot going on. And I also just, I love Rhea Perlman's outfit in this episode. How does this, they're like, what are you dressed up for? And she mentions that it's her anniversary. She's wearing, folks listening, if you haven't seen it, she's wearing this leopard print top and then like light gold pants. And her shoes have some sort of like bejeweled or bedazzled thing about them. But they're like, for Carla, this is dressed up. I just love that idea.
And then she goes over and grabs the, I guess, rabbi's butt and then sidles right next to him.
The teaser, this is actually one of my favorite teasers. I always liked this one when I never remember it. And then when I see it, I'm like, this was so good.
So funny.
The teaser, Sam serves a martini to an elderly woman customer named Marge Thornhill, who is played by the guest actress Anne Morgan Gilbert. She did a ton of TV work in the 60s and 70s. She was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, Alfred Hitchcock Hour, Andy Griffith, My Three Sons, Dragnet, all the way up until episodes of appearances in Grey's Anatomy. And she just passed away back in 2016. But yeah, he serves her this drink and she recognizes him. She's like, you're Sam Malone, right? And she asks if he recognizes her, and he doesn't. He's like, I don't recognize the face. And she's like, well, I went to every Red Sox game that you pitched. And he's like, there's a lot of people in those stands, Marge. I can't be expected to pick out one particular fan. And she's like, but you got to remember me because I always sat in the same spot, five rows up along the first base line. I would get there early. And Sam is being very diplomatic and apologetic. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't remember. And she goes, well, maybe you'll remember this. And her attitude completely shifts. And she stands up and just shouts, Malone, you pitch like my sister. Why don't you go home and make a dress? And like the whole bar looks at this woman. And you would think Sam being attacked like this verbally would like freak out. But he's like, gets this big smile on his face as he remembers, was you.
That's you.
He's like, this woman was an incredible fan. He's like, guys, you got to meet this woman. Yeah.
There's a few, I feel like, I don't remember if Cheers was doing this all the time, but in this episode, there's a pattern where someone's giving someone crap and you'd think that the response is going to be worse than it is. And this is like the first instance, and that's, I feel like it just makes the show feel really warm because you expect him to be offended or something. And he's like, oh yeah, it's all part of the game. You know, it's nice.
Yeah. And he actually asks, he's like, do the other one that you always said. She's like, no. She's like, you're not playing baseball anymore. She's like, and she's apologizing. She's like, I'm sorry if I, you know, heckled you too much. She's like, no, it's part of the game. It's fine. And then she takes a sip of her drink and she freaks out. She's like, you call this a martini? And
she, what do you use for vermouth? Turpentine?
Yeah. And he just shakes his head off. He's like, the old ones never lose it.
Yeah. Would you say this is one of the better openers? Because I thought it was so good.
I mean, I like this one a lot. I think it's funny. It's very unexpected. Yes. And actually, like, I think just being the lead, like, obviously Sam, the star character, I kind of feel like he wasn't involved in as many of the teasers and the cold opens.
Yeah.
They tended to spotlight more of the secondary and tertiary characters then. So yeah, the fact that this one is Sam-centric, I always remember it. Is it one of the top 20 greatest? No, but it's mm-hmm. still a very strong one. I always like this one. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. When we come back after the main credits, the gang is arguing about the worst way to die. Cliff suggests being eaten alive by rats. Norm suggests sliding down a greased pole with razor blades. And Fraser, he's like, how about this? Dying alone, knowing you've never been loved. And he is met with silence until Norm is just, Fraser, if you're not even going to try, it's...
And you know what I love too? Like, I was thinking about, you know, I mentioned Sam, or this episode reminded me of like pre-Diane and post-Diane. I think one of the things about the show when Diane was there is, well, the characters were more new to us, so we didn't know them as well. And so it felt more like people who worked together in a way, except for, you know, like Coach and Sam had this really close relationship, but for the most part. And Diane, nobody really liked that much except for Sam. And so she felt like an outsider in a way that I think now in the show, in season 7, they all belong. Even Rebecca belonged, like she, as we'll get to, decides to go ahead and gamble. And, you know, even Fraser, like after a while, even though he has his own ways, he fit in a way that Diane never did. So now the show feels more, and we all know them better too. So it just has a warmer vibe to it. Like second stage Cheers feels more family, warm vibes, you know?
And at this point, I mean, it's come about a couple of times, but they're even able to make almost meta jokes about that, like kind of reward you if you know more about it. And we'll come to that one later, because there's a joke that are about Norm that kind of pops up. When Carla comes in and mentions that it's her wedding anniversary, she's upset with Eddie because he's been on the road with the ice show and she hasn't seen him and he hasn't even called. And she's like, but I finally found out what he's been doing. And Norm is like, treating you like crap? She's like, she goes, no, Eddie's neglecting her to lull her into thinking that he has forgotten, and then he'll blow her away with a surprise gift. So clearly set up the expectation that this episode is going to be a waiting game. As the clock ticks by, when is Eddie's gift going to show up? And just ramping up the stakes there.
Yeah, and it really fits in with her just constantly being treated badly by men. Like, she's so tough. She can handle anything, but her vulnerability is these just douchey men.
Yeah. And she asks Woody what time it is, and he's like, oh, don't go by my watch, because I always set my watch 10 minutes ahead so I won't be late to things. He goes, Woody, you were late this morning. He's like, yeah, I couldn't find my watch. Lilith enters to announce to Fraser that her belly button turned from an innie to an outie. So she is at that stage of pregnancy. And they have questions for Norm, and here's kind of where the inside joke plays, because they're like, Norm, we have some questions for you. He's like, well, I'll do whatever you need as long as you're willing to buy me a beer, basically. And she's like, of course we'll buy you a beer. And she asks him, Norm, what are you drinking? And the whole bar, not just the regulars, the entire bar starts to laugh at that. And even Fraser gets off a good laugh, and he's like, Lilith, everyone knows that Norm drinks beer. And she's like, oh, that is hilarious. Like, it's very...
Yeah, like, you needed that little extra thing to, you know what I mean? Like, she goes, why is that funny? Oh, because everyone knows, oh, that is hilarious.
Right. It's like, it's kind of like, oh, yes, this man, in any other context but the sitcom, this man is a high-functioning but severe alcoholic. That's why we're laughing. Of course, that's hilarious. So it's kind of, I like her commentary on that it works that way, so... And then, yeah, so they ask Norm to paint their unborn child's nursery. And he's like, yeah, I've done this before, but they want to stay away from any cute, cuddly animal associations that may stunt the child's development. And he's like, is it a boy or girl? And they want completely gender neutral look. And he's like, all right, by the time I'm done, your child won't know what sex it is.
Yeah. And Fraser saying he didn't want to cram sexual identity down the kid's throat is pretty ahead of its time, I would say.
Yeah. Like I would actually, when they cut up, I was like, where are they going to take this? It's going to be one of those things that makes you cringe in modern times. But I was like, no, it was fine. It didn't do anything bad. But
and we know how Frederick grows up because of the new Frasier show, which I've seen one episode of and didn't love, unfortunately.
I still haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, Sam is starting this basketball pool for the bar. Woody says he doesn't like gambling because he doesn't want to take money from his friends and make their relationships awkward. And Cliff was like, ah, go ahead. Nobody here gives a hoot about you anyway.
Great.
Woody smiled. Yeah, he's like, that's good news to him. He's like, okay, great. Rebecca doesn't want them gambling. If they get caught, they could shut down the bar. And Sam was like, no. He's like, this isn't gambling. This isn't a pool. He's like, haven't you ever seen championship tic-tac-toe? And he shows, like, because they've got the pool is like, you know, you bet like a certain point spread per quarter and everything like that. So he's got the whole chart, and Norm is like, yeah, it's tic-tac-toe, so I'll put my hex right here in this square. And by the way. On a completely unrelated note, here's that $5 bill I owe you. And Cliff's like, oh, Norm, you fell into my trap. I'll put my O over here. Oh, by the way, Sam, here's a $5 bill that just fell out of your wallet.
So this is another kind of an example of people giving someone crap. Because I know, I assume they don't really think Rebecca's going to buy this. You know, maybe a little, but mostly probably not. They're just kind of like messing with her. And then, like I said, she could respond toughly and just shut it all down, but no, she decides to jump in. So
yeah, it takes a little coaxing because she's gonna admonish them, and she thinks about it. She's like, okay, give me three squares.
I just love that she joined in. That's great.
Yeah, a guy walks into the bar with a long beard, a hat, glasses. I was kind of thinking a Hasidic look, but I don't quite know if that was what they were going for. But he walks in, he takes a seat at the bar, and Carla kind of points him out to the guy. She's like, you see that guy? Doesn't that look like a certain, you know, husband of mine in disguise? And she goes up, yeah, and grabs him right on his butt. She's like, and she's like, I know. Well, how does she phrase it? She's like, the beard might be fake, but I know something about you that's real. And then she grabs his ass. And then the guy just kind of like tenses up, and she goes, you're not Eddie, but you're not bad. And she sidles up next to him, and it's like, that's the old Carla from before she was married that we know and love.
Yeah. So. And we didn't really see his reaction, but he seemed all right with it. I mean,
yeah, he did. He didn't freak. He tensed. He's like, where is this going? But, yeah. After the first quarter of the game, Woody wins the first pot, and they know how he feels about taking people's money. Maybe he won't like this. And Sam tells him he won $125, and Woody's like, yes! And he calls them all suckers, and he starts singing, I'm in the money, and bragging, and just Papa. Acting obnoxious. Yeah. And Cliff is like, well, maybe we could force him to take it, the money. And Sam tries to caution him against acting like that, but it doesn't take. It doesn't work.
When he's saying, Woody, listen to me here for a minute, and I just love the way Woody Harrelson looks like he can't even hear Sam because he's feeling so much ecstasy. He's like, I got this money. And then he's like, it's kind of a tradition amongst gamblers. You don't dance and wave money around in front of people you just want it from. Can I sing? No, you can't sing. Well, I guess it would be out of line to chant, in your face.
In your face.
So good. See, when Coach, you know, Nicholas Colasanto died, and Woody came in as a replacement, I remember at first thinking, well, they just got a younger version of Coach, and I felt like that was kind of lazy to just have a new airhead in there. Woody, I think, became my favorite character of the show, and I especially like how over time, because he just was so wide-eyed, naive farm boy, but over time he started to get more of an edge to him. And
he did.
And I wonder if, because Woody Harrelson is a bit edgy, you know, in real life, so I wonder if that might have influenced it. But this is kind of in that direction here, which I like.
It is weird, especially like in the era, like, yeah, Woody Harrelson has a lot of ghosts in his past and a lot of inner demons that might have manifested a little bit. And yeah, they make the character a little bit darker. They show just shades of that every now and then.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, like, I think the year after Cheers ended, he did Natural Born Killers, and it was like that leap is like, whoa, wait a minute. Is this the same Woody?
So
and
then, like,
yeah, okay, yeah.
It's just so dark.
So you could definitely make the case that he as a favorite character in the show. I don't know. He might be. He's one. At halftime in the basketball game, Woody wins again. And he's like, I'm not going to bros. I'm not going to brag. All I'm going to say is thanks.
Thanks.
and they know he's gloating. They're like, worse than what you can do is like gloating on the outside is gloating on the inside. And Cliff just bitterly, if you're going to dance, for God's sake, dance.
Yeah, I love that. So good.
And Woody starts counting the bills at his edge of the bar, and he finds a five with writing on it. And Cliff instantly kind of, oh, hey, that's mine. Let me switch that out. I'll give you a blank one. And they're like, no, wait, let me see if I can read it. And the text of the message written on the bill reveals that the $5 bill is a birthday gift from Cliff's mom. And which wouldn't be such a thing, except it's an older birthday. And Sam's like, you've been carrying around a birthday gift for 10 years?
And it also says, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to get you a gift. So yeah, here's $5.
So it's such a pathetic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Norm is like, no, he hasn't been carrying it around all the time. That's just when the post office delivered it today.
Yes, I love this because it's already sad, and Norm just digs in and doubles down and then triples down on it.
He does, because Cliff's like, you're just jealous. Your mom does write. He's like, and Norm's like, your mom writes me all the time, mostly thanking me for hanging out with her dorky son. And he takes out his own bill, and he's like, P.S., I'm writing this in the nude. And the gang laughs. And Cliff, my mom didn't write that. She's never been nude in her life.
So here's yet another example. Well, I forgot, but Woody just, you know, rubbing into everyone's faces. He's giving them all crap. Yeah. They're a little ruffled about it, but not really. And then here's Norm giving Cliff crap. Now, Cliff does seem thrown off base pretty well, but he's still sitting there. He's not going home.
He is. I mean, yeah, Cliff is the lowest in the pecking order, so they can all get away with teasing him and doing crap. And just once they start taking shots at his mom, that's when he's really going to lose it. And that'll come back one more time later in the episode.
I don't know about you, but when I was in college, we would always do that. We would just give each other's mom crap all the time. And one time my roommate's brother visited, and you know, we said something about his mom, and he's like, what'd you say about our mom? And his brother's like, it's okay. We do this all the time.
Carla then gets a flower delivery from Eddie, and she reads the card that is signed her loving husband, Edward Lebeck. And she gets very cold, and she takes the flowers and throws them on the floor and spits on them. And they're like, whoa, 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 what is that? And she reveals the heretofore unknown fact that Eddie's real name isn't Edward, it's Guy. Like the French, you know, like Guy, G-U-Y, but pronounced Guy. And she asks which one of them sent the flowers to cover for Eddie. And Sam denies that they did this. He's like, you're crazy. Eddie probably spent $20 or $50 on the flowers. And Cliff was like, 50? You said it was going to be more like 35. They're all like, shut up, Cliff. And Carla yells at them for not having faith in Eddie. And then around midnight, she gets another flower delivery. And she's like, this one, she's like, see, I told you, you guys didn't have faith, but it's, she's like, I knew it would come through. And there's a delivery guy, played by, actually, I forgot. The first delivery man who delivered the first bouquet of flowers is played by Michael G. Hawkins. He had a few TV appearances and actually four episodes of Frasier as different characters. And I wonder, just based on his few sporadic appearances, maybe he was on the crew or he had some other technical job.
It seemed like something like that. Because they said, you're a little old for a delivery man. And he said, my father's, what did he say? My father's busy or something.
Well, like, that's the second one. The second delivery man.
Oh, yeah, you're the talking second about delivery him, man.
Her, Yeah, Herb Cain. He only has three appearances on IMDb, and he's like unnamed or uncredited characters. But he was actually a Pulitzer Prize winning writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. I found out. I did a little deep dive.
Okay.
So because he delivers this one line because like he's an older guy, and Carla's like, "Aren't you a little bit?" "Aren't you a little old for to be a delivery boy?" And he's like, "It's my father's night off or something like that."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a funny line, and he delivers it really well. And I was like, when I looked, I was like, this guy only has three appearances in TV. I was like, he was funny. How could he not do more work? And then I found out he was actually this prize-winning columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. So he, obviously, I don't know how he got this gig on Cheers, but
Well, you guys were saying a couple episodes ago about this Joint Chiefs of Staff guy. Like, people would write in a lot and just like, can I be on the show? You know.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, the show was so popular, probably everybody wanted to be that. Yeah. Yeah, and when Carla holds it up, she goes, does anyone know who these are from and who they're for? And Norm raises his hand, Cliff's mom, and for me? You just see Cliff fuming just... And Carla reads the card, and they're from Eddie. It's a lovely note. And Norm was like, yeah, I got a tear in my eye. And Cliff balls up his fist. He's like, you're going to have this in your eye if you don't lay off my mom. It's like... And then we get one of these scenes. Like, this is one of, like, this, I'm already tipping my half about what my home run for the episode is. My favorite little bit or exchange. This was one that I always remembered. Rebecca says, why can't more men send me flowers? And Sam goes, I didn't know Mormons couldn't send flowers. And she's shaking her head. He goes, I know they can't dance. And she's like, I didn't say Mormons. And Sam is like, well, why can't Mormons send flowers? She's like, I didn't say that. I just want somebody to send me flowers. And he's like, why do they have to be Mormons? And she throws her hands up and walks out. And initially you're like, okay, they have been dumbing Sam down a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, is this really a dumb Sam? And then you see him kind of smirk to Woody and the other guys as Rebecca walks away. It's like, oh no, he was playing with her. Yeah
and he says some people you just can't discuss religion with. and if you just look at the text, it could have been played either way. It could have been played where he was dumb, or whether he was just giving her the business. Another case of somebody giving somebody crap, right? He's doing it to her and she knows it too, I think. And but I love that they played it this way, because instead of I remember Family Ties used to do this a lot too, where you're like, are they kidding with each other? They're not serious, you know? And it's like how real people are. They mess around with each other. And so it makes it feel more human, instead of just a dumb joke about how dumb Sam is. It's just more like, oh, look how these people relate to each other. They're like a family.
Right. Yeah, he could play dumb just to frustrate her.
Yeah,
and get her to walk out. And then he grins devilishly at the others. Like, yeah, I knew what I was doing. And then they get a call at the bar, and it's Carl, and Woody picks up the phone and he takes the message and he shouts across the bar so everybody can hear, Carla, that was your florist. They didn't take your credit card. You have to pay in cash. Thus revealing that she bought the flowers for herself, humiliating her in front of everybody that she did this to herself to cover up Eddie's neglect and that she didn't want their pity. And she gets ticked off and just throws the flowers on the floor again. And Norm is like, on the bright side, Cheers is going to have the sweetest smelling garbage on the block. After the end of the basketball game, Woody thinks that he has won again. He's like, yeah, clean sweep, which I guess even though they skipped the third quarter, I guess we know that Woody won that quarter too.
Yeah.
And he's just shouting, he's like, all four quarters, and he starts to boast about it. And Sam is like, ah, not so fast. Actually, the winner is Rebecca. And she's like, oh, well, I will show you how a really gracious winner behaves. Read them and weep, farm boy. And she starts waving the cash around. And then we get our last guest appearance, or I should say our next guest appearance, Detective McGinnis, played by Frederick Cook, who, again, like, all these guys has a ton of TV work, especially in cop shows, as either a cop or a crook on, you know, both sides of the law. He was in Starsky and Hutch, Hill Street Blues, TJ Hooker, in an episode of St. Elsewhere. And also, actually, just like Marge Thornhill, who played the woman at the beginning, he also died in 2016. So Rebecca's waving her cash around, and he's like, excuse me. He's like, and he introduced himself as an off-duty cop. He's like, but I really hope for your sake, there's no gambling going on here. And she's like, no gambling. I earned this money. I'm a prostitute.
That's not better, is it?
Yeah, that's, no. And he kind of shakes. And I just love his reaction, just kind of like squinting and shaking his head, like, I don't think you meant to say that.
That's not right.
Like, he doesn't look shocked or indignant about it. He's just like, really? Yeah. That was your defense? That was your excuse? So, and Rebecca's like, no, I'm giving the money back. And she passes all the bills to everybody. And the cop walks out. She rips it back. Yeah. She's like, give that back
to me. And I love how when she's doing that, she's like, see, this is just a little game we play where we pretend to give, but then I give it back. And then as she's handing it back, she's like, give me this back later. And then, if you see the look on the guy's face, the detective, he's just kind of like, oh, whatever. He knows there's gambling going on, but he just leaves because he's like, these are a bunch of nice people. And it's just yet another instance of someone giving someone a break, you know, which happens a lot in this episode, and it just adds to the lovability of it for me. It's like, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I know. It's like for a character that we will never see again and has all of 30 seconds of screen time, it's a nice little character beat that you kind of make the mental leap. It's like, he could bust these guys, he could arrest them, he could file all that paperwork, or he could just say, you know what, I know this is going on, and I can't be here to witness it. If I'm aware of it, I have to take action. So I'm just going to remove myself from the situation.
Which is nice. The main reason he's there is to make this joke perfect, because Rebecca had started off warning Sam about gambling and she could lose the business. And then she's the one that gets busted, you know?
Yes, exactly. It's its own little version of Chekhov's gun. Like, it's like she mentioned the arresting. Okay. If she's going to start doing this, that has to be the punishment for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's the perfect kind of, because they set that up in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Sarah, they get a call from Carla's daughter, Serafina, says Anthony's on his way with a present for Eddie, or with a present from Eddie, I should say. And Carla gets really excited. And you just hear the sound effect of a car speeding by and this box being chucked down the stairs. And they're like, he didn't want to stop and come in. She's like, there's no brakes in the car. And they're like, how does he ever stop? And she's like, he either skids into a hedge or he just circles the block until he can slow it down with his foot.
And she's just saying it all happily. Like, yeah, well, it's fine. But I wondered, like, why did they do that? And I think maybe just because they didn't want to have to spend the time, like, having him come in and have a little exchange with him, you know?
Right. So she gets the package. She opens it. But it's not a gift. It's clothes, dirty clothes. Eddie sent his laundry for her to do and send back to him, which is just like, oh, like the worst. Like, not only did he forget the day, but he sent this degrading thing that she has to spill. Like, literally airing their dirty laundry in front of
everybody.
And he
hasn't even called her for the month that he's been gone. He hasn't even called.
And she's embarrassed. But she doesn't want their pity. She just wants them to go back to their business. And she's like angry about it. She's like, Norm, order a beer. Clavin, bore us. Woody, tell us a story about another one of your relatives who lost a body part and some farm equipment. And he takes a beat. And Woody goes, did I ever tell you about my Aunt Lefty? And she just, shut up.
Shut up. He's like the look on his face in that one moment is like, you really want me to? Because I have a story.
He's like, I do have another one. And Carla's like, just walking out. She's like, done. She's had enough. She can't take any more embarrassments. So she's walking out. She's at the door. She's putting on like what looks to be a snakeskin jacket to complement the rest of her ensemble that she's got. And then Woody gets the call and he's like, oh, hey, Eddie. No, Carla can't come to the phone, or she's leaving or something. And she sprints down the bar, takes the phone. Yeah, she's got plans. Eddie calls to apologize that he wasn't home. He says they changed the script for the ice show. So this, like, another factor, because I mentioned that this is Jay Thomas's last appearance on the show. He's not even in a scene with her. Like, his stuff is all filmed separate because he's calling from somewhere on the road at, like, a payphone, as we see members of the cast of the ice show in the background. And he's very apologetic and he's sorry that he missed it, but you know, hopefully he can make up for it when they get back, but he's got to go. And she's like,
he said that they're dehumanizing the big bad wolf and the little pigs think they're the God's gift to ice. I presume he's the big bad wolf. Did we already know that before this?
I don't know if they've ever said explicitly like what his role is.
But it sure sounds like he's standing up for the Big Bad Wolf, and then that's sort of
He says they took all the humanity out of the Big Bad Wolf.
Meta because he's kind of a bad guy himself, you know.
So she says goodbye, and they love each other, and she hangs up. And then she's like, "All right, everybody, repeat after me. I am a very stupid person." Call and response. The whole gang shouts, "I am a very stupid person," and she does this whole speech. She's like, "I will never doubt, you know, whatever." Like the
undying love of
undying love that did exist, still exists, and will exist forever between Carla and Eddie. This whole spiel, and there's a beat, and the whole crowd. I am a very stupid person.
And you expect them to try to say it, and they all trail off or something, but no.
But they're all just like, no, we're not going to repeat all that. So Carla goes into the office where Sam is there doing something, and she confronts him that Eddie did forget, and Sam reminded him, didn't he, about their anniversary, and Sam completely denies it. She's like, don't lie to me, Sam. And she mentioned that the Lozaponi women have no demonstrable talents whatsoever, except for one thing. They can come up with any curse and make it stick. And she's like, if you lied to me, she's like, now tell me the truth. Look me in the eye. Did you call Eddie and remind him? And Sam says no. And she's like, okay, if you lie to me, I'm gonna. And she's like looking at him, and he goes, no, not the hair. The hair.
Yeah,
which this might now be like four episodes in a row that they've made jokes about Sam's hair,
which is awesome. She said, "Let me think of a good one here," and he thought she said hair, or else she's just looking at his hair. Yeah,
and she's like, if you're lying to me, your tongue will swell up so big you'll need to buy a second seat on an airplane or something. And then she leaves, and Sam, he's saying something to Carla, who did she think? Yeah, and he starts to like slur, and then his like tongue starts to puff up or something.
He goes, family curse, how go about that? Yeah.
And he panics and he runs to the door. He's like, Carla! And she's like, what? And he's like, nothing. And he gets the frame and shuts the door. So
good.
Yeah. Again, I will get into more detail about J. Thomas's exit probably on a season 8 episodes when they actually officially write him off. But ostensibly, as I understand it, before this season even started, between season 6 and season 7, there was discussion amongst the showrunners. They wanted to elevate one of their recurring guest actors to not a permanent show, but a more regular returning guest. And it was between Eddie and Lilith. And they chose Lilith, and I think rightfully so, because B.B. Newirth is amazing. I mean, you could make a case that she is the best part of Cheers. and she makes every episode better. And I've kind of said, like, I really like J. Thomas. I thought he was a great actor. I liked his chemistry with Carla, ironically. And I thought that he was a good foil for her. But when he was at the bar, when he had scenes in Cheers, he didn't add anything different. Like, he wasn't different enough from the other guys who sat at the bar. Whereas Lilith was such a contrast that any scene she had with Sam or Rebecca or Fraser, even her husband, or Carla, it like you just sparks ignited because of how different they were.
Yeah.
You want She's that like, foil.
I was saying that Diane was the only one that didn't belong, but now that you mention it, Lilith never belonged either. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's the outlier, I would say.
Right.
Really fit in.
Yeah. And there are points like later on where she will condemn the bar with a little bit of scrutiny and scorn, even then, as much as she goes there from time to time. But
yeah.
So they chose B.B. Newirth to be a regular and didn't elevate Jay's role in the show. And possibly there was a little bit of resentment about that, because after this episode, between episodes 7 and 8, J. Thomas was doing a radio show and was asked about being on Cheers and just made some jokes about it. Wasn't very flattering. And he might have been trying to be funny, and he might have had a little bit of hurt feelings about it. But what everybody agrees is he stepped over the line. He said the worst thing he had to do was kiss Rhea Perlman. He said that was a nightmare.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I'm like, okay, because I liked him too. And I was sad he left. And then I heard that and I'm like, okay, well, that you shouldn't have said
and,
that.
And like she got wind of it and she told the showrunner, she's like, no, we can't have this. And I think James Burrows, the director and one of the showrunners, even said something like, it was like a Godfather thing. He went against the family. So he couldn't just be written off. They had to kill him off. Like they had to go about this as explicitly as they could. Unfortunate because I really like J. Thomas, but again, like if for whatever reason it was between more Lilith and more Eddie, give me more Lilith a thousand times.
And I liked him too, but if you're going to pick someone, if you had to pick someone, he would have probably been towards the top of the list, just kind of like what you were saying, that he doesn't add as much as the other characters, even though he was good. Right. You know, if you had to pick someone to leave. But I think so when he called and it turned out, okay, he did do something nice. He wished you a happy anniversary. There was part of me that was like, oh, good. He, you know, this whole episode was about poor Carla, who's had such bad times with men and Nick and, you know, everything. Yeah, and all these kids and everything. And so this one came through because Eddie did seem kind of like a nice guy from what I remember most of the time.
Yeah,
but then it turns out that not really. Sam actually called him and as you can tell by the swelling of his tongue and told him to call Carla. So he didn't really come through. And I think on a character / storytelling level, it's good that Eddie actually didn't come through because it's kind of part of Carla's character, a tragic part, but part of her character that men don't treat her well. And, but this whole episode is about that, but her friends have her back. You know, the whole conflict in this episode is we need to help Carla without her getting pissed off at us. So it's people trying to help, you know, and maybe that's part of the reason why they're trying to help, because they know that if they don't want her upset and they're afraid of that. But I think also it's just because they love her. And so that's just another sweet thing, you know, like the whole conflict of the show is just them trying to help her feel better. And it's nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very much about. Yeah, I would use the same word. Like Sam does love her, and the rest of the gang, they love her. They think of one of hers, and it's her rejection, kind of that she doesn't want to feel like they. I mean, she just because she's so unlucky, she just associates that love with a kind of pity, and she's like, no, somebody else, somebody better, somebody can love me just for me. That doesn't have to do this.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, that love is kind of conflicted because it's just the fact that they would even have to do that is an acknowledgement that her husband's not treating her well, which is a vulnerable spot for her. So she doesn't want to have to face that. So it's like, it's a tough spot to be in.
It was a good Carla episode. I will reveal that Carla was not my employee of the week for this episode, but it was a pretty good Carla episode. It was pretty good. Not the best, but still very enjoyable. Tons of laughs, obviously. Some really standout moments for me with the Mormons thing, and I'll come back to that one. For Norm's tab, actually, because there's so much time jumping in this episode and we have so much like kind of skipping around, he had a lot. He had 7 beers this episode. Wow. So which brings him up to 682 for the series up to this point. And I was keeping score. He only needs 5 more beers this season. In the next 2 episodes, if he can get just 5 more beers across those 2, he will have had more than 100 beers this season. Because of where he started in the last one. So
do you know what he's actually drinking?
Like their faux beer. It's
non-alcoholic beer or something.
I want to say there is some essence of beer to it, but it's like extremely watered down.
Okay.
Like they've talked about it and they've joked about it, that it wasn't pleasant, but they also couldn't get them drunk on the set. And so it's just like something that he had to drink all the time. And they were saying, I don't know if they've ever explicitly said, but it's like a very, very, very watered down beer, but with some type of coloring or something to give it the hue. So, Jason, who was your employee of the week, or who did you think was the MVP this time?
I mean, my first thought was to give it to Carla because she's the focal point, but there was a lot of business going on with a lot of different characters. Such a great ensemble. Frasier was great. Rebecca, I have a feeling that was going to be yours. Sam, Norm. But it's kind of the whole bar because they were all there for Carla. But since I can't pick that, I will pick Woody because I just loved his moments the best. The whole thing with him rubbing it in everyone's face. It's so funny. It made me laugh.
Very nice. Very nice. I ended up going with Norm, actually. Okay, Norm, okay. Just because like, his jokes, I thought, and like, yeah, this was the thing where the whole ensemble really came through. Everybody had a great little moment. So it was very spread out. And I thought about Carla for the same reason you said it's a Carla centric episode, but I was like, Norm really amused me. Like the way he kept digging at Cliff, I thought that was a lot of fun. So I gave this one to Norm.
Hilarious.
For the home runs, I did have a couple. I gotta say, my favorite bit is the whole Mormons thing. It's the whole exchange. Good. My runner up is Woody's line. Did I ever tell you about my Aunt Lefty? And just Carla goes, shut up. What about you? What were your favorites?
I mean, I just love that Woody is being his more original self, saying I don't want to play a game because I don't want to win money for my friends, and I just don't like that idea, taking money from my friends. And then he ends up playing and then he wins and they're like, oh no, what, he won, like he's gonna, like, you think we can talk him into taking the money? Let me get it a try. Hey Woodrow, you won the first pot. He's like, how much did I win? $125. Yes, come to papa, suckers. I'm in the money. I was rolling. I watching it this time, because I probably haven't seen that episode in 10 years or something, I was like, I think he's gonna like it, but I wasn't sure. And then when it hit, it just filled me with joy.
the complete reversal is such a good reaction.
And they all have to sit there and take it, you know. He's like prancing around and waving it in their faces. So funny.
And then just compounded in the next time he works. When they're like, if you're going to dance, just dance. Don't be smart about it. Well, Jason, thank you very much for being on this episode.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you for the first time.
Yeah.
Where else can people find you if they want to hear more about you, in the podcastosphere or elsewhere?
Yeah, I have the Podcastica Network, where we do in-depth episode by episode coverage of a bunch of great TV shows, kind of like you're doing. We started out, as I mentioned earlier, on Walking Dead back in 2010, and then we've since expanded to a bunch of other shows. We do more usually darker things, House of the Dragon, Yellow Jacket, Stranger Things. We're also doing Ted Lasso rewatch and Buffy, Squid Game, White Lotus, so all kinds. And my personal favorite, Cobra Kai, which is coming back for its final season pretty soon.
Very cool.
So we do a lot of fan interaction on Facebook, and we have listener feedback segments and stuff like that. But you can find all our information at podcastica.com.
Very cool. Check those out, people. Podcastica. Yeah, thank you again, Jason. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
Hey everybody, listen up. We only got a few minutes to the game here. Who wants in on the basketball?
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, put me down here.
There you go, gentlemen. Woody, how about you?
Oh, I don't know, Sam. I don't like playing games for money. You end up either losing money or taking it from your friends.
No, Woody, this is just a game, man. You know, $5 a square. You got 4 quarters, 4 chances to win.
I don't know. I don't like taking money from my friends.
Go ahead, Woody. Nobody here gives a hoot about you anyway.
Okay, great.